stories of innovation and success from the vibrant communities of rural Nova Scotia. This is Ignited.
Hey there, welcome to Ignited, the podcast, where we celebrate innovation and rural success. I'm Wade Cleveland. This episode, we're looking at health innovation. I'm at the Nova Scotia Health Innovation Hub in Halifax, talking with Dr. Daniel Rasek about a digital platform he helped develop, Virtual Hallway. Now, Dr. Rasek is a practicing psychiatrist focused on treatment of service members and first responders. Virtual Hallway is a game changer for rural areas. It enables GPs and nurse practitioners to connect with specialists quickly, getting consultations done in hours or days that previously would have taken months to happen, helping to eliminate wait lists and, of course, speed up much-needed patient care. Let's start by talking specifically about what Virtual Hallway is. So could you explain it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Virtual Hallways, it's an online platform, and it's used by doctors and nurse practitioners around the province. And what the nurse practitioners and doctors can do is if they have a patient with them who they might need some advice on about their care, they can utilize the platform to schedule a phone call to get some phone advice with hundreds of different specialists across the province. So for example, if you're seeing your patient and you're a family physician, you're seeing a patient and you've tried a few treatments for migraine and it's just not getting better, well, you can actually set up a phone conversation with a neurologist to get some advice on what some of the next steps can be. And really what this does is it brings care a lot more quickly to patients so that these phone calls can happen, you know, usually the same day, and that care can get implemented the same week, you know, as opposed to the alternative, which would be sending a referral to a neurologist or to a specialist, which can really take months or sometimes years.
So whenever you say a platform like that, I almost think of it as a Facebook style kind of thing. How does this work?
So it's a web app and a mobile app. It can really be accessed from any doctor's office, and they have it's a secure platform. They have their own private portal. And when a doctor logs in, they're presented essentially with a menu of different specialists and specialties that are available. Those specialists will actually pre-populate times that they're available for a phone call. I guess the little bit of the magic there is that what that ends up setting up is a moment where both people are ready for that call. So a lot of family doctors will, and you know, myself as a psychiatrist will have called somebody and you really catch them off guard. They're not ready for the call. They're not really sure what the context is. And very often the dynamic of that conversation can be a bit off. Whereas this really has people in the both sort of in the same mind space at the same time. And it's a very simple to use platform. And someone can log on and get that all set up within 30 seconds.
It seems like a brilliant idea in its simplicity because it seems like a very basic concept. But it is indeed, and you mentioned it before, getting referrals, especially, I don't know about anywhere else, but within the Nova Scotia medical system, is not the easiest thing in the world to do sometimes. So it is a very difficult process. How do referrals work these days before Virtual Hallway? I mean, is it literally just cold call normally? Is it the sending of a paper to someone? How does it work right now?
Perfect. So a traditional referral would essentially be your family doctor, after they see you, they'll fill out a referral form. And essentially, it's a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And on that piece of paper, you know, they'll put your name, a little bit of what your problem is, and what their question is for the specialist. That'll get put into a fax machine and sent to the specialist fax number.
Where, a fax machine.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to modern times.
Healthcare still runs on fax machines. Really, across North America, it's quite, we're quite behind in healthcare. So it ends up in a pile in that specialist office, and then they'll do something called to triage it. And what triaging is, essentially, the specialist will read through those referrals and determine what's more urgent and what's less urgent. And the wait times will vary according to that.
So that certainly slows things down hugely. Let's talk about the creation of this. Obviously, it's pretty easy to have a problem statement and work your way back through. Did it start with the problem statement for you? And it was you and a group of people who kind of came up with the concept and developed it, right?
Correct. Definitely started with the problem, and it actually started a bit with the solution. It was myself and two other psychiatrists. And unfortunately, psychiatry has some of the longest wait lists in the province. A number of things are being done to address that now. But for years, it's been a very long wait. And as psychiatrists, we were all pretty acutely aware of that problem. And often we'd see people who might have been on a wait list for a very long time and really recognize that, wow, like if we could have intervened earlier, we probably could have helped with a lot of anguish. And then what happened, so that's sort of, I think, I would just say the foundation that probably most psychiatrists and specialists feel. I had an encounter with a colleague who's a family doctor in a coffee shop. And they said to me, look, Daniel, I have this patient. She's been on a wait list for a very long time. And like, can I just run her case by you? I'm really worried. I'm not sure what to do. So we kind of went aside, talked for a few minutes, and really came up with a plan. It was about a 5-minute conversation. And that was sort of that, okay, this was really great. She was really happy. I felt good because I was able to provide some advice. Really, medicine has that culture of helping and working together. And I think that's sort of what we tapped into with Virtual Hallway. And it was, the question then became is, well, why don't those encounters happen all the time? And really the reason those encounters don't happen all the time is because as hard as it is for you as a patient to get a hold of a specialist or a family doctor, it's equally as hard for one provider to get a hold of another. So there's a ton of barriers in between that. And so we kind of set out to say, well, how can we align these schedules? How can we create sort of a central meeting place, so to speak, where these providers can discuss patient cases and where they can essentially expedite care in a way that's accessible to everybody.
All right. So Virtual Hallway, almost virtual water cooler, if you will, you know, running into somebody at the water cooler and saying, oh, by the way.
That's exactly it. And so in medicine, and there's actually two names. So in Canada, they're called hallway consults. So the idea that when doctors were much more usually operating at like a community hospital, you'd walk down the hall and you'd say, oh, there's the cardiologist. I'm going to go ask him a quick question. You might discuss that case and then off you go. So it's a hallway consult. So there's a real tradition of medicine about these. I'd say, you know, care has sort of increasingly been fragmented and in a good way, moving further and further into the community. But some of those random passing through the hallways of different types of providers with different expertise happens less and less and less.
I love it. Now, it sounds to me like it's not a particularly complicated technological idea. It would be fairly easy to develop the technology to go with it once the concept is in place, right?
Yes and no, I guess, on that. So the so definitely the workflow is something that was really important for us to get right. Mm-hmm. And we had a bit of an advantage because we have healthcare backgrounds. But it still took quite a bit of work and rework and talking to the people using the platform. Because, you know, each specialty, each specialist, each hospital, they have a slightly different way they do things. So to really kind of create a flexible experience. The platform itself, to create a simple experience, actually requires quite a lot of sophistication under the hood. So we actually have an entire team of engineers that's in-house. They're all Nova Scotian. Most of them are Dal grads, you know, working full-time on this. So, yeah, to make that simple 3-click experience takes a lot of work.
It's deceptively simple.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. So this was all developed in Nova Scotia?
Yeah, and we're really proud of that. So we're actually, our company's actually an in-office culture. And funnily enough, we started during COVID, sort of continued that way. We've hired Nova Scotians, you know, and some people as well from other parts of the Maritimes, but who have moved here. And, you know, we quite strongly believe that that's part of our competitive advantage is that we have really talented people here. And we can work together in the same place. We're quite proud of the fact that we're a maritime company.
All right. So you mentioned COVID. Was COVID kind of a factor in creating this, or was it just coincidental?
Coincidental. So we'd actually started a very, very early prototype of this before COVID. And so there's the three psychiatrists. We told a few family doctors about it. They told a few more, and it started to grow before COVID. And that's really when we started to realize, oh, we should really take this from this little product to a company so that we can actually scale this to make it available much more widely. You know, in Nova Scotia, we're available in Prince Edward Island now as well, but across Atlantic Canada and beyond.
When you came together, the three psychiatrists, and you decide, okay, let's do this, obviously you realized, well, we can't do this ourselves. We need a team. Was it the three of you who decided, let's put this together and go assemble the team? How hard was it to put all of that together?
When we started, we thought much more about a product. So it really started as, okay, how do we solve this problem? How do we make it work really well? And so we basically started with hiring a developer. We put out an ad, he responded, and he's still with us in our company. So we built this product and the product worked. And it was sort of the realization of, okay, now to scale, we need to, you know, to scale. So to make the platform more robust, more flexible, more integrated into healthcare systems and whatnot, it's going to take more than one developer. What we then did was we actually found our CEO now, who then joined the team, to figure out how can we start to build up our team. And that was sort of the first steps towards that. So we initially entered a pitch competition where we won some initial funding, which again, allowed us to hire our next couple of individuals. We were then also involved with the National Research Council, who also helped early on with us being able to build up our technical capabilities and provide a lot of advice throughout. So those are really the first little steps of going from here's a product that works to how do we build this to scale.
You have the mobile app. Now, in order for this to function properly, in the same way that Facebook has to work if there are actually people on it, you have to get buy-in from the overall medical community to kind of take part in that. Is it a marketing thing or is it personal outreach? How did that part work? And getting everybody rowing in the same direction with the same oars.
Really, the way we went about things was just the way we knew how to do things, I'd say, at that point. It was essentially a grassroots movement that started Virtual Hallway. You know, we started it, three psychiatrists, then we had, maybe 20 doctors. And then we said, well, boy, we need an internal medicine specialist. So we found one actually from Yarmouth who was interested. So, okay, now we have a panel. And then, you know, some of the family doctors saying, boy, it would be really great if you got a gastroenterologist. So then we went and called all the gastroenterologists and it really built that way. And we called it a lot of spinning plates. So then, you know, then the gastroenterologists would come on and perhaps they didn't get enough consults. So then we'd be calling family docs, hey, you know, you can consult with a gastroenterologist if you need. So there was a lot of work. And our first 2,000 clinicians on the platform, we've spoken to them by phone.
How does this make money or does it make money? How does this work that way?
It was, again, built to solve a problem. So that was the whole nature of it. And really the problem being of doctors and nurse practitioners having trouble getting a hold of each other with the downstream effect, of course, of getting people care faster. It is a business though, ultimately. So there does have to be some way to sustain itself. So what we actually discovered was we're solving really important pain points for physicians and, again, having those downstream impacts. There was two factors that led to our business model. Factor one was we recognized that actually the biggest beneficiaries of this system is the system. And the reason for that is because people are getting care faster. It actually avoids a lot of people having to get that referral sent and get onto that pile and then wait. So people are getting care faster that way. It has the potential to free up and shorten wait lists. And there's ultimately a cost savings to the health system. The other part that was really important for us was we didn't want to create something that couldn't be accessible to everybody. Now, there's an important caveat to that. That was how our business model evolved, though, into essentially selling a software license to health systems to enable unlimited use for all of their providers of the platform. And when I say it's accessible to everybody, there is a small exception to that, which is you do ultimately need a primary care provider in order for them to consult to the specialist. So I think that's an important piece that I think the province is working on. That said, a walk-in family doctor or, you know, someone on virtual care and S can also use virtual hallways. So there is that access point, but that would be the, I'd say the biggest limitation right now of the access to virtual hallway.
Ignite Atlantic believes in the power of innovation and the ability of rural entrepreneurs to spark change. We bring together entrepreneurs and industry with initiatives like the Ocean Communities Climate Challenge, the Food Waste Challenge, our work on fishing fleet decarbonization and electrification, new and innovative ways to fish and farm, food automation, and more. Rural communities and industry have unlimited potential to help drive our economies and create prosperity in Canada, and Ignite is helping to lead the way. For more information, visit igniteatlantic.com.
Primary care workers, GPs, nurse practitioners can access this as well. This is a monstrous resource, especially, and again, I look at everything through rural lens. This is huge for rural Nova Scotia. I would think it'd be huge for rural areas everywhere because it gives you access quickly to people you wouldn't normally have access to. That's quite a powerful tool.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've all been to a specialist appointment that lasts 2 minutes, and you might have waited a year for that, worrying, and the specialist comes in and says, "Oh, it's fine." And you think, wow, that was a lot of worrying for nothing. Or I guess for something, you still got good news at the end. So this can really reduce that sort of unnecessary travel. That's really important. The other thing that we see happen is because wait lists keep getting longer and longer, very often primary care providers will essentially reserve more severe and severe cases for a referral because they know it's going to take so long. Whereas through virtual hallway, those, let's say, maybe more medium cases that 20 years ago would have been sent to the specialist and maybe they're holding on, seeing how things play out for a longer time, they can get that advice from a specialist a lot more quickly. We certainly had cases where someone who used virtual hallway that the patient might have been on a wait list and just based on the history was triaged 1 year, did a virtual hallway consult, spoke to the specialist, and the specialist said, "This sounds actually a little more suspicious than I thought. Do this test or that test." And they actually found some serious illnesses like a cancer that was found early because of that. So these are the sort of situations that can really be improved through these types of consults.
When you're doing these types of consults, what does the specialist have other than the conversation? Is there a way that they get x-rays or MRIs or whatever it might be, test results?
So the way it works is there is still a referral form and there still is a consult response form. So when the family doctor or nurse practitioner sends that initial consult, they put some details in. And it's always a balance. So don't need the full story. We need kind of to know what the question, some background, and they can attach x-rays, blood work, and whatnot. So that specialist has a little bit of background when they start. And that can really start to narrow down the questions. So the average response is about 1.8 days, and it can be as soon as 2 hours. And again, depending on the specialty, it might be 7 days.
When you say phone call, and I know this is an odd question, but I do a lot of Zoom calling and virtual calls and those kind of things. Is it a phone call, a literal phone call, or can it be a Zoom call or that kind of thing?
It's phone calls. Again, we found that the phone calling is actually a large preference for how people communicate. And it really works. Again, you know, the doctor on call, they have their phone. It really kind of links in terms of how people interact. Again, it would be different if it was to patients because you need to maybe see, you know, something through the camera. But here it's just, again, verbally relayed.
2 days, 1.8 days is very fast. That's remarkable.
It's great. And we're constantly trying to find ways to make it faster and faster. And we do have different workflows where it can be even faster than that. So we're continually trying to optimize the platform to make it really, really easy and get people to connect ASAP.
Okay, so I'm a GP or a nurse practitioner. I have someone that I need to consult about, say I'm going to, I don't know, a cancer specialist or a heart specialist or whomever. What do I do? Is it a matter of looking to seeing when those appointments are empty? Is it that simple?
Have you ever booked an Airbnb?
I have.
Very similar. Each specialty and specialist will have a tile. You click on the tile, it'll open up the different specialists. You'll actually be able to read the specialist bios, what their expertise areas are. So you're having a question about someone with a liver issue, you can actually get the liver specialist. If it's so there's all sorts of, and I'm a psychiatrist, so we have, I think, 14 psychiatrists in Nova Scotia right now, all the way from, you know, seniors, mental health experts. I'm more an expert in trauma and PTSD to people who might be experts in bipolar disorder. So you can really get the precision of that.
Right.
And then once you select that specialist, so you find your match, so to speak, a little calendar pops up and you just pick the time and date that works for you, that works for them. And once that's done, you type in just a little bit of information. Again, we try to keep it fairly brief because we do want these to be efficient and quite focused on the problem at hand. And click submit, that's it. Specialist gets notified and they'll call you at the time that you selected.
I know I'm getting in the weeds here, but I've just find this really fascinating. How long are they designated slots? Like, are they 15 minutes long? Or I suppose that would vary too, as depending on the conversation.
So it's actually customizable by the specialist. So the specialist can choose how long those bookings are for. The specialist can also actually customize the referral form so that as the family doctor, you know that the information you're putting into that referral form is what they desire to see. Very often, those old traditional referral forms on fax machines were usually just open pieces of paper. So you're always guessing, what does that specialist want? So this makes it a little lot more streamlined as well.
You're giving those specialists the ability to control what they need. It's so efficient.
Oh, absolutely. And I know from the psychiatry perspective, there's usually about 10 questions I'll need to know. So what makes it really easy is we just have a checklist on that referral form. Check if this individual has any of these things. So if it's clear, then I don't have to ask those questions.
I'm assuming that those specialists are being paid for those consults.
There's actually billing codes.
Okay.
Nova Scotia was one of the first provinces in the country to introduce these billing codes for what are called peer-to-peer consultations. And now it's across the country and throughout the United States. These encounters, both parties can get paid for it if they're fee-for-service clinicians. And what our platform also does is it actually automates billing on their behalf. Very often billing can be quite cumbersome because you have to capture all sorts of little pieces of information. And if you're off, then you likely won't get reimbursed. Whereas our platform automates those processes so that physicians are getting compensated for the work that they're doing to help each other.
Let's talk about buy-in. You've got this wonderful app, this whole opportunity. At what point did you go to Nova Scotia Health and say, I've got this? Do you want this? And was it a hard process to kind of take it to the next steps? Did everybody share that excitement when everything started to roll?
Yes. I have a very different view of how these processes work now.
Okay.
And I think it's really important because, let's say for myself as a clinician, I have a certain viewpoint. And my viewpoint is usually I need to get my patients the best care they can as fast as possible. And then, you know, the family physician will likely have a similar approach. Whereas a system has to also think about how do we do the most for the most people? And they're all very important. So we were really lucky with our relationship with the Nova Scotia Innovation Hub. It was just getting started at the time that we were. And largely because of our community of clinicians at this point, who were really engaged with the process, finding great value in it, they sort of really helped validate what we were doing from a clinical value perspective. And the Innovation Hub was also really interested because they really saw this as a real potential solution to a really, really important problem, which I would argue is one of the biggest problems in healthcare, which is specialist wait lists. So we got connected with them. That said, it's still a very long process because, once again, they need to make sure it's safe. Is this platform, like, what are the risks with it? What about privacy and security? What about, you know, from a clinical workflow, what if something goes wrong, this or that? So there's a lot of due diligence that was really important. And frankly, to us, equally important. So those processes can take a little bit of time. But at the end of the day, you do your due diligence so that you can do the most good for the most people. So our process, I would say, was thorough, but it was very positive. And I really am very grateful to the Innovation Hub for how they've built these processes to introduce new technologies and new ideas into the healthcare system.
How long has it been since it launched?
I think our official pilot with Nova Scotia Health started in spring of 2022.
Is it still in the pilot stage?
I'm not sure what it's called now, but about 3/4 of primary care providers use it. So I'm
okay.
Not sure where we're at. Yeah. Increasingly, we're continuing to see people sign up and utilize the platform. We have about 3/4 of what we call eligible primary care practitioners on the platform, using it anywhere from a few times a week to once a month, and that continues to grow. What we find is that it's increasingly being viewed as like an educational tool. So very often, as nurse practitioners are being trained, they get to hear about it. You're new to practice. You'll probably have a lot of questions. This is a resource for that. There's a lot of family doctors now coming new to the province. Again, they might not have that, you know, social capital. They didn't go to Dal, and they don't know, have a bunch of friends and an extensive Rolodex here. So this, again, is another tool that's being shown to them to say, hey, look, you can come to this province and you don't need to know a neurologist. Here's one.
Right, exactly. It's like an automatic networking tool. It's fairly recently that PEI Health picked it up. How's it going there?
It's going very well. So working with Health PEI similarly has been wonderful. They sort of saw the experience in Nova Scotia and were interested in implementing it on Prince Edward Island. We launched in May of last year, and we have greater than that number percentage-wise on Prince Edward Island utilizing the platform. And, you know, similarly, you know, talk about travel. There's not a lot of specialists on PEI. So a lot of these individuals have to travel to New Brunswick or all the way to Halifax for a lot of these appointments. And one of the neat things that really happened with Prince Edward Island and Nova Scotia was there was sort of a recognition of potential collaboration between the two provinces, and that went really, really well as well.
So what's next for Virtual Hallway?
So our main focus always is we want to make sure that we get everything right here. So we continually focus on Nova Scotia, and we have good ratings on the experience, but it's for us, it's really never enough. We want to make it really perfect. So we continue to build up the platform. We build up ways that can make it even more seamless. One of the things we're working on right now is the doctors will soon no longer have to write notes. The notes will be written for them automatically. So that'll be a very important thing, because if you ask any physician, their number one pain point is writing notes. This is really a network building tool, and people can benefit from this everywhere. And so our plan is really geographic expansion across Canada and into the United States. So there are similar pain points actually in a lot of areas, particularly rural United States, where we think this could have a lot of value. So that would be really sort of our short and medium term plan.
Here's to the future, Daniel. This is an amazing concept, and it's another one of those things that's going to revolutionize medicine and kind of address those issues that are there. So thank you so much for this.
Thank you for having me.
To find out more about Virtual Hallway, visit their website, virtualhallway.ca, and follow them on LinkedIn. You can follow Daniel Rasik on LinkedIn as well. To find out more about rural innovation and what Ignite does, check out igniteatlantic.com. You can follow Ignite Atlantic on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And hey, follow me on LinkedIn as well. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you subscribed to Ignited, shared us with your friends, and gave us a good review. And remember, you can find past episodes anytime by looking over our archive wherever you download your pods. And we'd love to hear from you. Any comments or suggestions about the podcast or who you'd like to hear on it are most welcome. Email me, Wade, W-A-D-E, @igniteatlantic.com. I'm Wade Cleveland. Thanks for listening. Talk soon.